Welcome to the Prison and Sober podcast with your hosts, Sam Goldfinch and Ellie Crow. If you want to make your life bigger, not smaller, then this is the podcast for you. If you can sense that you're destined for more and you're curious about how drinking could be holding you back, listen in and come on this journey with us. Through the interplay of mind and body practices, we will help you elevate your daily life and discover the wonder and potential of going alcohol free. Let's make life bigger together.
Will you remember though? Will you remember?
I always remember, Ellie Crow.
Oh, bonjour.
Hello.
Hello.
Just, how many languages can you say hello in?
Well, just French at the minute. I'm not feeling any of the vibe right now.
You're not feeling any other vibe?
Nope.
You're feeling French?
Nope. I might do hola next week. We'll see. See how I feel.
Hola.
Hola. Oh, no, I did it now. I'll have to, anyway, whatever.
Blah. It's called a response. It's because I said response. It. You had to say it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the issue, isn't it? Hello, folks. Thanks for joining us. I've got a really, really big episode today. It's all about disappointment. Oh, and I'm actually feeling threads of disappointment this morning, Mr. Sam.
Yeah. Why? What's going on?
Well, you and I know a little secret.
Really?
That we've been stood up by somebody. So that's like mildly disappointing, although totally expected. So perhaps not as, there's a thing we can come back to actually. It's not as disappointing as it could be because we were expecting it, right? So there's a little thing about expectations, maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean, it did occur to me when we were recording this that feeling disappointed has a lot to do with expectations, right? In a mechanical sense, like if we expect something to happen and then it doesn't happen, then you know, we may feel disappointed. Yeah, there's a few ways that, like, this is we've got no plan today. Not even a word. Well, we've got one word: disappointment. So hopefully disappoint.
Okay, yeah, hopefully you won't be disappointed. Well, look, that thing that the expectation thread that we just picked out is that's very true, because, well, I was just sipping my tea in my special mug.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
And I'd treated last night at Waitrose, get me, very middle class in South Cambridgeshire, went to Waitrose and chose some Yorkshire tea. Now, Yorkshire tea, have you seen these brews that they do? They've been around a while now, but I've only...
If you're going to tell me about biscuit tea, I can't live without it. And I've been drinking it for a long time.
I just got biscuit tea. And I was really looking forward to trying it. And so I packed it away in the cupboard last night. And this morning, I was feeling a little bit pissed off. Had a bit of a car ride this morning with the kiddos on the way to school. What the dogs, fucking knackers. I'm like, oh, I'm looking forward to seeing Mr. Sam, aren't I? What I'm going to do is I'm going to make myself a little brew. And so I made my Yorkshire biscuit tea and it wasn't what I expected.
What kind of milk did you use?
Cow.
Use soy milk. Try it with soy milk.
I was sniffing that first.
Honestly, because it's weird. Like, I really like those biscuit teas. In fact, I'm a little bit obsessed with them. But yeah, for me, they're much better if you have them with soy milk rather than...
I might try that because it smells nicer than it is. It's just kind of coconutty, which is a bit odd.
I think you need to sort your life out.
Have you tried the jam one?
That's all right. It's not as good.
Right.
Okay. I'm all about the biscuit tea. I think it's a grower.
A grower, not a shower.
Yeah, not a sniffer, a grower. It grows on you. classic. It is a grower. It's grown on me, that's for sure.
I'll persevere then.
Yeah. I'll be taking some away when we go away with me. I don't go anywhere without a box of biscuit tea.
Are we going to take some to Florida with us then?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, guys, we've recently acquired a sponsor. No, I'm joking. We haven't.
Biscuit tea.
This is just honestly from the heart how much I love it. I have a number of friends. I've gifted this stuff to people and half of them are like, fucking obsessed, and half of them are like, this is a pile of wank, why have you given me this, like, I don't like this. wait to see which category you're in.
All right, but by the way, we're gonna need to sort out a packing list then of what we need to take to Tampa.
We'll just Just some clothes, probably, isn't it?
And some biscuit tea.
Yeah.
Are you going to take your little dustpan and brush? Or is that just for when you go camping?
That's when I go camping. Hey, there'll be a Hoover.
You hope.
Fingers crossed, with any luck. Yeah, no, I might see if I can fit the dustbuster in.
The dustbuster.
No, I won't be doing that. Right, come on. Disappointment. Get back on track.
Back on track.
Yeah. You're well, right. That's it. It's so it occurs to me that disappointment is a signal that we have expected something to happen, something that we've been looking forward to, and then it doesn't. So we feel disappointed, right? So I don't think that's a... I don't think that's a very... That's quite human. I think that's okay. It's very safe, isn't it? I think the... Knowing that we're okay, though, is the most... Like, whatever's happened. Like, if we're disappointed that something has happened and we think something... and that we're not okay. Like, if we've pinned our sense of self-worth or our wholeness or our happiness on something, then we'll be not just disappointed. We'll think that there's something much more at stake. But those things aren't at stake. Like, they're already there. So knowing that, we can safely honor that feeling and allow it and feel it and allow it to pass through and then crack on. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not a victim of the stuff. That's the important. I think if we're disappointed and then we feel like a victim of something, then that's a very different thing to kind of being disappointed about something because you were excited about it and then creating the next thing, right?
Yeah, I really like how you've described that. I think if I'd gone back, or if I go back to time as a drinker and being caught up in a very different way of thinking, and that kind of victim mode that we can naturally fall into, then disappointment, I would have been disappointed about a whole bunch of stuff. And that would have served to certainly keep me stuck. It would have felt terrible. I would have wanted to avoid feeling it. I would have buffered it with booze and whatever else. And interestingly, I had a really big feeling of disappointment and it felt totally different. And it felt totally different because of what you said, that I wasn't then creating a bunch of, I wasn't judging myself for it or creating a bunch of meaning around it. So the circumstance was, so this was kind of in the wake of making the decision to leave my marriage. And I remember I'd had a conversation with, I'd had a one-to-one, a private session with my teacher. And I was talking to him about the kind of the muddle of feelings, so much happening. And I felt all sorts of different things, things that you would typically class as negative emotions and things that you would class as positive emotions. And I was wrestling with it a bit because it seemed incongruent and it seemed like I had feelings of excitement and joy. And I was judging myself for having those feelings because I was like and this is the words I said to myself, like, how dare you feel that? How dare you feel that when there's all this other stuff over here called sadness and guilt and anxiety and fear and disappointment. And my teacher at the time said to me, when I said, relayed like what I was thinking in my head, and I said, what I was saying to myself was, how dare you feel excitement, joy? And he said to me, Ellie, how dare you not? How dare you not feel those things? And having that kind of support and frame through like the holding of seemingly opposing emotions was really, it was really helpful, because I think the biggest emotion that was there, because you kind of got all the surface level stuff, the obvious stuff, which the more protective emotions that were there. But underneath it, there was a really big mass of disappointment because it's not what I had set out for in my relationship. Like I didn't see that that was going to be the way that it would go. And in fact, I would have had a bunch of story built upon. So my parents separated when I was probably about seven. And so I had a story called When You Get Married, You Stay Together, like whatever happens. Like, and so the making those marriage vows and planning to, you know, be with him in that way, it, for me, it was like a life situation, like this is going to be for life. And so what a surprise when it's then not. But it was interesting. The things that were interesting for me were that I didn't feel, because of the, I think the work that I've done and the layers that I've shed, that stuff around when you get married, like that's it, that I didn't feel that anymore. So I was released from that. But I had to experience the disappointment because it was massively disappointing, massively disappointing. But it didn't mean that anything was wrong. It didn't mean that there was something that I needed to fix.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, it's honouring that you're feeling your reality as it's constructed for you. And there'll be a whole bunch of people for whom they feel the complete fucking opposite of disappointed. There'll be a whole bunch of people who would feel, so for example, you know, in all these different examples, not your life, but their life, there'd be people that would like just be expecting for their marriage to crumble, right? The complete opposite of what you were thinking because of innocently their level of understanding and how they see the world. So I think the thing that's key to this is not whether we're feeling disappointed or whether we're feeling a whole mixture of stuff or whatever, or just pure celebration or whatever. It's knowing that we're feeling it's something that has been created through us because of our conditioning and stuff like that, you know, and like, it's all safe to feel it. And but there's wisdom in there, like the wisdom is going to be right there behind all of that conditioning. And the moment we just feel the honor, because I think it's in, what book's it in? I think it's in The Power of Now, where, you know, I can't remember the exact thing, where someone, there's like a questioner and they say to Eckhart, like, so, you know, what happens if I find myself with a feeling of disappointment or of this? Or like, are you suggesting that, like, I don't have to feel that? And he kind of says, well, look, at the level of spiritual principle, it's possible that we could all live in this kind of like clear, blank, like beautiful, joyous feeling all the time. But the reality is we're humans and we have conditioning. And if something's there, it's happened either because there's been a judgment at some level in the system or a story or an assumption or whatever. And it's already happened. Like, it's already with you. Like, if you're feeling disappointed, you're feeling disappointment. So feel it and allow it to move through you and realize that it doesn't mean all the things that you've probably been making it mean. And then you'll have something new and fresh right behind it. The moment, I think the thing that, you know, your teacher was very beautifully pointing out was, you know, how, you know, it is what it is, right? You know, if you're feeling joy in that, like, of course. Mm. Yeah, it's a good point. It's, well, like, interesting. I didn't know where we were going to go with this because we've got no notes.
You don't need any notes, mate.
I know. We don't normally have any notes really anyway. I'm only joking. There's something on the other side as well, which is a little bit like when we believe, or when we see that we've disappointed someone because we haven't said that we do something that we were going to do. And I'm not saying that it's always the case that it's wisdom in action to always follow through on the things that we've said we will. But I think it's like as a nice way to kind of go through life. I think, you know, if we've said that we're going to be there and honor someone, an event or something, or be there for, like, it's a good thing to like kind of look in that direction, isn't it? And to do those things if we've committed to that.
Is that a veiled threat to our guest?
No, it's not. No, that hadn't even occurred to me. But I know for me, there are moments when like I can agree to do something because I'm in a certain way of feeling about it, and then some time will will elapse. And then when it comes round, I'll be in a different state of feeling about it. And there will be times where it's like, oh, actually, that's really not the right thing for me to do. But there'll be other times where it's like, you know, you've got some resistance to doing this thing because now you're feeling a bit of like insecurity or something like that about it. It's like, crack on, courage, move through, crack on with that thing. You know, you're going to learn something powerful from it. Because I think a lot of the time is the feeling of like disappointment in ourselves, right? Oh, why did I do that? Or why didn't I do that? And there's a way, you know, at a mechanical level where we're just doing what makes sense to us at all times. But when we're, but there's often that's something very powerful to see there, to in all, like often to help us shift our level of understanding. Like if we just keep finding ourselves disappointed that we're doing something, well, can we sit with that and look for the wisdom in there? Like, is there a message? Is there something for us to see? Because it's not always being disappointed by other people, is it? It's, you know, we might feel like we're letting ourselves down.
Oh, 100%, 100%.
Not that I've ever done that. I've never let myself down. I have.
I have. Just full
just, to be, just to be clear. I mean, yeah.
Are you finished?
But no, I haven't. I'm going to carry on now because you left yeah. giving me some space. But even if we have done that, huge amounts of love and compassion for ourselves, because at the end of the day, all we've ever been up to is the best we can with the thinking that we've got. So if we want to kind of move to a place like noticing, oh God, I think I've let myself down or whatever, and feeling the truth of it, and then pouring love and compassion on ourselves and looking for the insight, looking for the wisdom, it's very, very different to feeling it and then beating the shit out of ourselves about it. That just doesn't seems to keep a pattern in place.
Yeah.
I've stopped. I've finished now. Over to you.
Fucking hell, thank God for that. I like the phrase looking for.
Oh,
the
there's
wind.
Another thing. No, I'm joking.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm very disappointed, Sam.
Sorry, I'm just amusing myself now.
Yeah, I can see.
I'm not amusing anybody else, I don't think.
That's the critical bit for me, the looking for the wisdom in, which is a choice, right? Because there's always something. And that orienting from that place as opposed to judging self, beating self up, it's so freeing. Like it loosens the grip, the tension. Because these feelings can be, you know, notably, we'll want to, historically, we certainly will have avoided them. You know, that's, you know, talking about booze, that's, you know, the thing that we will hear the most is that people don't want to feel stuff. Use booze as a comfort blanket for a period of time. So it's incredible, actually, how many people repeatedly, I will have people come to calls and they'll say, like, I'm feeling this thing, call it disappointment or anger or depression or whatever the feeling is. What do I do with it? What do I do with it? And they want me to whip out some kind of a special tool to give them, to rid themselves of the feeling. And it's wonderful to share with somebody that they don't need to do that. But it's understandable. Whilst we're in these bodies, I'm sure there's going to be plenty of resistance for all of us of different intensity and different flavour. But to use an old adage from the show, you always get to choose again, right?
Well, yeah. And a choice is only like, it's if you can make the choice, right? So I think the thing is for a long time, because my good friend Jamie says a choice is only a choice if you can take it. And I think for many of us, we haven't been able to take a choice for a while because it hasn't made sense.
Yeah.
Right? No matter how, and then it does. But once the option appears and there's a choice, there's a pause where there used to be a reaction or something like that, then that kind of starts to change everything at that point. Yeah. And then there is a different choice there. I think the choice actually comes from not wanting things to be different from how they are. Which for a lot of people, they're like, oh, well, isn't that just giving up on life or something like that? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is whatever experience we're in the now is the experience that we're in. Life is going to guide us to do and create wonderful things. But what we've been doing is trying to control the experience that we're in. And then it seemingly that's what all of our energy is kind of focused in on. But the moment we accept where we are and feel those feelings and breathe, we often have a powerful insight. It just occurred to me while you were talking that I think very often someone might describe disappointment when actually they may be feeling sadness or deep grief. Like if, for example, like if we have an image, like an idea of how life is going to be with our partner, for example, and then we find ourselves in a position like you've been in, or our partner dies and we, and it, like, how, what could be more natural than as part of this grieving process to kind of be disappointed about the fact that that kind of image of life that was going to play out, we now know it's not going to be like that, right? So it's, we might use the term disappointment, but is it grief? Like, it occurs to me that people, when they say they're disappointed that they have to stop drinking, are they not grieving the idea? Like this romanticized idea of what they thought alcohol was giving them? Well, it was never giving us that. But we have to grieve the idea. I mean, we made that really cool podcast about that a couple of years back now, I think it was. It's there. But that's a process for sure. Because I felt like disappointed that I wasn't going to be able to kind of have this relationship with alcohol that I'd dreamt up, that I'd had sold to me, but I'd been sold a load of bullshit. So the reality of it was entirely different. That was the reality of alcohol was, my wisdom was guiding me to do different, but I had to feel my honest feelings of grief around the idea of it. And that looks true in many different ways, right? There's a lot more in there than we might initially think there is.
Yeah. And that's why I think it, you know, I'm not, I think that the issue with words is that they're made up and limiting. But it does, I do appreciate that language in emotion can be extremely helpful in making some sense of what was going on. So within that experience that I was having that I mentioned, I hadn't taken the time to language what was going on. I was just feeling what was going on. And it was in the kind of the slowing down of it all and the appreciation of all of it that it became apparent that disappointment was in there. And I remember feeling like it was quite a revelation because for me, what it meant was that I could see where I was clinging on. Mm-hmm. I could see where the resistance was. I could see what was clinging to. And then that allowed me to honor what I was feeling and appreciate it and love it and have it be metabolized and not carry forward a bunch of unhelpful thinking or beliefs or desire for things to be a certain kind of way. It was like the flashlight, like illuminating what needs to be seen such that you can then let go of it.
Yeah, well, that's I mean, we've evolved to a point where we use a lot of concepts, right? And so I think for many people, we're like all in the conceptual, and we're trying to do somatic work at the level of kind of the thinking mind and the intellect. So we're kind of thinking about our concept of anger and how we process it and that kind of stuff. Then we come into the body, and the first thing to do then, it looks like, is sort of just say, well, what where am I feeling this thing? And it takes us straight into it, where we'll notice a sensation. Then we're kind of in the somatics of it. But then it's interesting. Then we can use the beautiful gift of concept and words to signpost certain things within the system as a stepping stone for us then to be able to go back into the deep experience, somatic experience of it, to be able to feel it. But what we've been doing up until then is not including the somatic element. So it's all been conceptual. Then we bring the somatic and the conceptual together. And then the conceptual leaves again, and we're left with the raw experience of it, which is entirely safe. And I can, that makes total sense to me. Like, if we're a swirl of emotions and they don't mean anything to us, they're like, oh God, I'm just this. Or if the only thing we kind of, the only way we relate to them is these are dangerous, like these can do me in, then to be with them and to find the storyline or to find the whatever that kind of allows them to kind of organize a little bit. And then we can like safely step to the next bit to be in the body makes perfect sense. So, you know, I think something like the emotions wheel and stuff like that, they're really powerful because they allow this bringing together of kind of, I mean, like the ego and the, any kind of process of an emotional kind of healing process is in time, right? In the sense of like, it thinks in terms of past and future and a process, but spiritually we're whole and complete now in this moment. Like it can't be any other way. Mm. So the bringing together of those two worlds is kind of powerful because what we start to realize is this seemingly impossible truth, which is we can be free even if we don't feel free. We're content even if even in our discontent, we can be content. Mm. We can like there's because it, but the intellect will never make sense of that. Yeah. Like it's something we realize for like we can hear the truth of it, but the intellect will never get that. It's just like doesn't compute, but you will, you know. Anyway, so yeah, I think that's all wrapped up in there. And yeah, I can see that. I can, like, it does come as an insight, doesn't it? It's like, you know, for example, someone who's like been experiencing anger or something, and then they have like this realization that they've been, I don't know, that they've felt that something is sort of like distinctly unfair or unjust or something like that. To know that, to see that kind of, that is powerful because it's often the thing that's like, oh, I didn't even know that. That was unconscious for me. And then it kind of like increases the feeling and allows us to be somewhere else. So I think the same is true for disappointment. Because you're right, they're all just words and they often blend into each other and all the rest of it. But,
Gift-giving energies, mate. Gift-giving energies. As dear old Sally used to say. And the other part was free-flowing. I don't interfere with them. Let them do the thing on their own.
Well, that is it though, isn't it? Like, it's so simple.
Yeah.
Like this is Michael Neal. I heard someone say this the other day. Michael Neal quote was, "Happiness is so easy, a baby can do it." But it speaks to the truth of it: is that we've got it all in there, baby. Yeah. Like it's all locked in. We know not to oppose feelings in our heart. We know to let them flow. Life's got our back. You know, it's all, the less and less we do, the more it just takes care of itself. But we've, of course, constructed all sorts of things on top of it that would suggest, oh, it can't be that simple. Can't be that simple, right? Yeah. Gift-giving energies. GGEs.
Well, free-flowing first, so FF.
Oh, FF, GGEs. Fugs. Fugs.
Fugs. That's a T-shirt.
That's not going to sell. Well, it might be a T-shirt. I'm not sure it's one that's going to sell many. Well, yeah, talking of which, like, you want to, we need to, do you know what we ought to do? We ought to release another special edition T-shirt. I reckon it's about time, Ellie Crow.
Yeah. Might be my unfuckwithable one.
Let's put something fun together. Do that. Let us know what you want, team. Come into the Present and Sober membership. Get the podcast submission form up and say, I'm here to submit a T-shirt idea. Tell us what it is.
The disclaimer is they're not all going to be made.
Yeah, no, obviously, like, you know.
But you've got a higher chance of it being made if it's rude.
Like William Porter. standing by a window, covering his meat
Wait,
and
are you
lunch.
thinking back to William in the Nip?
How could you
What was
not?
that
It's
all
on my
about?
mind all the time. Every other thought is me thinking of William Porter naked.
Wasn't that, I wasn't doing that for promoting a new book or something.
No, it was a fantastic. He had a. He did a. I love that man so much. He did a Facebook post or an Instagram post or whatever with him standing by a window in his just knackered, basically, didn't he? And I think it was a post about his how to be healthy book or whatever, like whatever the kind of original book that he wrote about around the health and stuff was. I think it was about that. But yeah, no. I mean, I think a lot of people were requesting a calendar after that, no doubt. Oh, we could
Imagine
make a
that.
calendar. That would be cool, wouldn't it? I'm not
A
getting naked
what?
for it. I said we could make a calendar. I'm not getting naked for it, but we could make a calendar.
With strategically placed tea.
Tea.
Yeah, your
Oh yeah.
Yorkshire brew.
Yeah. We can
Is
just.
it big enough? Small pack?
I don't. I'm totally lost. How do we strategically place tea in a calendar?
Well, if you're in the buff for the calendar and
Oh
you've
right,
got
God. Well, I
a
said I'm not
little
getting
a
naked.
small box
Oh
of
right,
tea.
makes sense. Oh yeah. I mean, I can't imagine we need many boxes. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, we can do that. I feel like is have we naturally found an end to this I don't want to disappoint anyone.
Maybe we haven't, but maybe the universe has.
It often happens, doesn't it, to be honest. I feel like I'm in this, look at this, my guitar, look at it just glowing. It looks like it's on an
The
advert.
guitar's glowing. There's some kind of like circular circle of light, like a halo.
I think it's coming from my you can't quite see it, but that, well, this is hard work, isn't it? There, that's my little yoga, my little roller, you know what I mean? Roller thing you roll up and down onto
Roller
against your
boots.
muscles. No, I did used to have many of those, but that's making, I think, making an orange glow on the guitar. Anyway, you'd have to join the YouTube channel to find out, wouldn't you? And please come and do that.
Yeah, come and join
We'd
us.
love for more of you to come and hang out on the YouTube channel.
Yeah. And if you come and join us next week, we can look at more things in Sam's room.
Yeah, all right. We do show and tell at the end. Okay, right. I guess that's it then, isn't it? Do you want to
Guess
see?
that's it
I want to see some chickens.
Guess that's it.
Got
I'll
my
look nice to
calendar
them.
for this year. Extraordinary chickens.
Extraordinary chickens. Do you know what I got out yesterday?
Don't
I got out my big book again, didn't I? My really
Yeah.
big universe book again.
You fucking love that.
Making a comeback.
Love it. You didn't comment on my chickens. Do you like them?
I do like chicken. I like the one on the front with
Look at this
the
motherfucker.
fringe.
Look at this. I'm really excited about
But tell me what's happening on my
Bark.
birthday. No, not for
Look at
me. Let's have
that.
that's too sinister. Let's have a look at July. Show me July.
It's the third, isn't it? Your birthday. Have I made that
It
up?
certainly is. Same day as Tom Cruise. We're buddies.
Oh, fucking wait.
And hang on a minute, you're the 2nd of August, right?
Correct, Amanda.
You're the day before my little Noe. Is that my July?
That is a
What the
fucking
fuck?
chicken
Where's
in
its
the heart.
beak? Is that its beak? There. Yeah. Well, that's
Looks
magnificent.
like coral, doesn't it, that?
It does.
That
Oh,
fucking
like
ace chicken.
what's that? Is it a lionfish? Is
Yeah,
that
yeah,
what
yeah.
it
Yeah, it doesn't look a bit like a lionfish. Okay. Right.
is? Come
Love you,
back next
everyone.
week for more
I hope we
chicken.
haven't disappointed you all so much that you're never coming back again. But right, I'm gonna stop this now, Ellie Crow, before it gets mad. I can't show you any more things from my room.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. Love you.